One of the things that we've really enjoyed as a family during lockdown has been the reduction in evening meetings and more time at the weekend. So we've played board games and we've sat around the fire basket toasting marshmallows. And we've also spent quite a lot of time watching Netflix, including Doctor Who, and some old films that Jess has never seen. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, we watched Back to the Future. And both Doctor Who and this film involve time travel. And I wonder if you had a time machine, what period in history would you go back to? What famous scene would you want to witness firsthand? This morning, we're going to travel back to a certain evening in Genesis 15. And if we did so, we would see Abraham carrying out a strange ritual. We would witness him slaughtering animals and then dividing them in halves to form a path between. And if we asked him what he was doing, he would think it very odd that we didn't recognize that he was getting ready for a covenant-making ceremony, on this occasion between him and God. Practice in Abraham's day was for the weaker party in a covenant agreement to walk through the cut-up animal, symbolizing that if the covenant got broken, the party who was in the wrong would suffer the same fate as the animals. The party that had kept to the terms would then get to walk through the blood between the cut-up pieces and be declared right. The party in the right would be released from the covenant terms at that point, and they would be free to make a covenant with somebody else. The only way to get out of a covenant agreement that had been made in this way was for someone to pay this price. So even if you died from natural causes, the agreement would be passed on to your family until the covenant terms had been satisfied. As you can imagine, covenants sealed by this ceremony weren't entered into lightly. On this evening, on this Genesis 15 evening, as Abraham was preparing to meet with God to formalize the agreement that he'd already made to Abraham, something quite remarkable happened. Instead of Abraham, who was the weaker party walking through the animal pieces, God himself took on that role. In doing so, as God passed through the cut-up animals, he was agreeing to accept the penalty if the covenant got broken. And of course, it was. As Abraham's descendants failed to keep up their covenant responsibilities, some centuries later, the prophet Jeremiah spoke of God satisfying the old covenant and promising a new covenant where there would be a complete forgiveness of sins and everyone would know God. But despite this promise, the old covenant remained in place for generation after generation after generation. We're going to get back into our time machine and we're going to move forward many centuries from that Genesis 15 evening. So, in our time machine, we come to an evening when Jesus and his friends are sharing a Passover meal. And as we enter into the room, we see Jesus pick up some bread from the table and rip it apart and say, "This is my body given for you." And then we notice him pick up a goblet of wine and say, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Having just come from Abraham's covenant ceremony and now hearing Jesus speak about a new covenant, we see a connection. Jesus is identifying himself with the elements of a new covenant, but the old one is still in place. Someone needs to be cut up, like Abraham's animal pieces, for the old covenant to be satisfied. And hours after Jesus tore the bread at that Passover table, his body hung on a cross. And as Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Trinity was ripped apart and the old covenant was finished. And in that moment, it came to an end. And we get to walk through the blood between the pieces and we get to be declared right with God. And as God upheld his side of the covenant in Jesus' death, to emphasise what the new covenant means for us, the Gospels tell us that as Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. A visual sign that everyone now has access to God. Jesus' death satisfied the old covenant and it releases us to be able to establish a new relationship with God. The whole of the Bible is the story of God bringing us to a place where we can be in right relationship with him. From the very beginning, when things went wrong in the Garden of Eden, when the human race failed to keep our side of the relationship, God has looked to restore it. And in Jesus' death, the perfect sacrifice making us right before God means that relationship with him is possible again. This morning, we continue with our studies in the book of Hebrews, which is a letter to some persecuted Jewish Christians who were being tempted to give up on their relationship with Jesus. Over and over in this letter, the writer reminds them that Jesus is greater than any element or part of the Jewish faith they'd left behind. 3 weeks ago, we learned how Jesus was the greater high priest because he was sinless. And in chapters 8 to 10, which we're looking at today, we discover that he is the greater sacrifice because he is the only one who could fully and once and for all satisfy the terms of the old covenant, which God made back in Genesis 15. Lucy's going to read to us from Hebrews 10.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you, Lucy. When Jesus shared the first communion of bread and wine with his friends the night before he died, he tells them that his blood is what secures our forgiveness. His blood both pays the penalty for the broken old covenant and it establishes the new one. Jesus' sacrifice starts a new way of relating to God, which is based on faith rather than the requirement of sticking to the old covenant terms. Twice in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer emphasises how different this new covenant looks when compared to the old. And I love the way Peterson phrases it in the Message version of the Bible, which Gaz is going to share with us now.
Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 18. Every priest goes to work at the altar each day, offers the same old sacrifices year in, year out, and never makes a dent in the sin problem. As a priest, Christ made a single sacrifice for sins, and that was it. Then he sat down right beside God and waited for his enemies to cave in. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. By that single offering, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. The Holy Spirit confirms this. This new plan I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper, isn't going to be chiselled in stone. This time, I'm writing out the plans in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. He concludes, I'll forever wipe the slate clean of their sins. Once sins are taken care of for good, there's no longer any need to offer sacrifices for them.
Thanks, Gaz. The way in which Jesus has made a new relationship with God possible should impact the way we live. Because we don't have to worry about if we've stuck to the rules enough or whether we've appeased God sufficiently to have a relationship with him, because Jesus has paid the price. This releases us to focus on how we grow and how we deepen the relationship with God that Jesus has secured. The whole of our lives now can be lived as a response to what Jesus has done. Under the Old Covenant, only the high priest could go into the most holy part of the temple. But with the New Covenant, there are no social distancing restrictions which apply between us and God. In fact, the Bible tells us it's quite the opposite. We're invited to draw near to God and to intentionally come as close as we can. And we do this because God has been faithful to the promises he made all those centuries ago. And so reading our Bibles and spending time with God privately in worship and in study are really important ways that we draw close to him. But as we draw close, we will discover that living the way Jesus calls us to live means more than just relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that we have a need for relationship with one another as well. And so being part of a church community, being part of a small group, forming a prayer group with friends, serving together in various ministries in and outside of the church, all build relationship with one another. The writer of this letter to the Hebrew reminds us that we need each other. Not just for friendship and not just for practical support and help, we need each other to help us grow in our faith. We need each other to encourage us in who God says we are. And we need each other to remind us of what Jesus has done for us. We need each other to spur us on. Sometimes we need each other to correct us if we're not living the way we could. And we also need each other to hold hope for us when we aren't sure if we can change. The writer of this letter urges us to dig deep with God and to dig deep with one another because of that day when Jesus will return. Now, unfortunately, our time machine is of no help to us in terms of thinking of that day when Jesus will come again, because scripture tells us that that date is unknown. But imagine for a moment, in our time machine, we could travel forward 1 year from today, or 5 years, or even 20 years. What might we hope our lives would look like in response to what Jesus has done? How might we want to be living in the light of this new covenant that Jesus has established for us? What hopes and dreams do you have regarding the external circumstances of your life? And how can we bring about change in the light of our growing relationship with Jesus? And what about your inner life too? Do we still see ourselves struggling with the same things in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls that are as difficult today as never changing? Or might we hope that our emotions and our insecurities and our destructive behaviours and our fears might be more productive in a year's time, in 5 years' time, or even in 20 years' time? And what steps might we need to start to open up the way to change? How might we step into this today? So this morning, as we move into sharing communion together, maybe you're hearing this truth for the very first time. Jesus has made a way for us to be right with God. Maybe this is the day that you want to start a new journey with Jesus. Maybe this day is the day that you turn your life over to him for the very first time. Maybe today will be the first time you eat bread and you drink wine in relationship with God. Some of us may know what the writer to the Hebrews is saying, but it hasn't impacted how we live. We need to let what we know sink in. And as we eat bread and we drink wine, can I encourage you to talk to God about the changes you want to see him bring about in you and how this truth might change your life? Some of us may struggle to feel that we could ever be right with God. Deep down, you wonder how God could ever forgive you for what you did. And so we struggle to draw close to him. As we share bread and wine, spend time hearing the truth of what the writer to the Hebrews has to say. And some of us may have been so hurt and let down by others, we struggle to form deep relationship with those who could help us grow. I wonder this morning whether you might reflect on those that you could open your life up to and allow to come more deeply in. And we ask Jesus to help us to do that. And some of us, as we share communion this morning, may simply want to say thank you again to Jesus for bringing a close to the old agreement and a way into the new. As we eat bread and we drink wine together, let's remember that image of the curtain in the temple being torn in two. The barriers which once separated us from God have been taken away. As we eat bread and drink wine together, let's ask God for the courage to take steps towards a deeper relationship with him. Let's ask him to heal the hurts and the struggles which have wounded you and which rob you of the life that you want to live. When Jesus shared bread and wine with his friends, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And this is what we are able to do today. This morning we eat bread and we drink wine, remembering the new covenant agreement Jesus established, because through him the old covenant was satisfied.